So we began to look. We talked last week. Let's look at our anchor text, the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 19. And the Bible says we should what? We should always be joyful. Because even God himself understands how important joy is. So he didn't say only during the holiday seasons be joyful. He says what? Always. Verse 17. Never do what? Never stop praying. Do you know that if you have needs or if you're oppressed by one thing or other, it steals away your joy? So he says, always be joyful, and he attached prayer to it because he knows that as you continue to ask the Father, he's doing what? He's going to continue to supply you so that your joy will be what? Be full. So that the joy will be full. Verse 18. Be thankful in what? In all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who what? Who belong in Christ Jesus. He says thankfulness, a life of appreciation, a life of being joyful. He says that that is God's will for us that are in Christ. Now, we have to understand that if it is God's will for us in Christ, then Christ, God in Christ has provided something that will keep us thankful and joyful all the time. Because it wouldn't make any sense for you to tell me to keep, that I should keep bringing cash if you have not made way for me to make cash. So when I come and I tell you, I say, keep telling you, bring some more money, bring some more money. What I'm saying is that I've made a way that you'll be always have abundance to bring. So when God, he says, be joyful, be thankful always because you're in Christ Jesus, what he's saying that in Christ, that something has been provided that will keep you what? Thankful and what? Joyful all the time. Verse 19. Do not do what? Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. So the joy of your life, the thankfulness always, the constant provision of God in your life is through the Holy Spirit that's already in you. Because anyone that is in Christ Jesus is what? Is a new creation that have become joined with the Holy with Jesus Christ, and they have what? The same Spirit. He said now, so the Holy Spirit does what? Dwells in you. So now in the Holy Spirit, that and Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. That's why it's called holy. So God's DNA, God's Spirit is inside of you. It's inside of me. So because the Spirit of God is inside of you, he says, go ahead, you can be joyful. Go ahead, you can be thankful. Always, at all times. And he says, to make sure that does not happen, make sure you don't do what? You don't choke that source of joy. Praise the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is a great source of that joy. So it's important that we don't restrain it, like we were saying last week, that we don't keep it dormant. Because we have it, we should keep it alive. We should stoke it. The Bible says that we should stir the Spirit that is in us. As the teacher was teaching us this morning, we stir with the Word of God. We stir with fellowship. We stir it with praise and worship. We bring the presence of the Lord to be in us at all time. So that in all that, if we look at every situation, we can look at it and says that with God, even this one is what? It's possible. Then joy returns. Do you know that we become bleak because we get into situations that we don't know where out? That is why if you're going through an issue, immediately you get an answer, your face brightens up. When there's sadness and anything, what it is that there is no answer. So we get examples of things that we should appreciate, that should be thankful of. We started saying that we should appreciate God in our lives. We give different examples. We look through the Word of God. That we shouldn't take it for granted. That God, in his infinite mercies, forgave our sins. And through his grace, even with our shortcomings, that he came and embraced us and still loves us. Now that is a major thing. It's like you being in a country or in a place where I don't even know how to... You are not even an alien. Somewhere where you are illegal. Somewhere where you are not wanted. Somewhere that you don't qualify to be. But in their own mercy and their grace, they come and they embrace you, help you out, provide for you, give you food, give you the same thing that they are giving their citizens, even though you don't deserve it. Immediately, if you understand that, you will appreciate that person tremendously. Praise the Lord. out of your actions, if you something you did not deserve, what they could have done and says, he's an illegal alien here, we're going to throw him in jail. Instead, what they did, they came and gave you the same rights and covered you and took care of you exactly the same way that they take care of their citizens. When someone does that to you, giving you something you don't deserve, immediately what it elicits out of you, it's joy and thankfulness towards that person. So say that's what God has done for us. So we must live a life that we are thankful to God daily. So when we say that, when we say things of God, we become excited. We give ourselves, we give our finances, we give our best to it. Because we see what he has done for us, it elicits thanks. Then last week we began to think that we must be thankful. We must appreciate our family. Appreciate your brothers, appreciate your sisters. Appreciate people that God has brought into your life. Don't look down on them. They are a blessing. For God so loved the world and he did what? He gave a human being, every human person that has been brought into your life, it is a blessing. So say, treat it that way. Put a lot of value in it. Appreciate it. And we say that sometimes appreciation, I mean, it might not be that you go and buy things. If you have, give. But we say words are so powerful. We say your family. Words like, I understand. So that's an appreciation. Shouldn't just be harsh, harsh, harsh. I understand. I know what you're going through. That brings a lot of comfort in the heart of a person. We say words like thank you in your family, in your homes. If your daughter, if your son comes in and the floor is dirty and he cleans it, don't say yes, it's their job to be cleaning it. When you come, say what? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord. We say that words like I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You can't be right all the time. And that even if you're right, and in your right, in your being right, you have hurt somebody. Because we said that, he said, we also read the place where he says that knowledge does what? It puffs up, but love does what? Love builds people up. That even when you're right, even in the family, you are the one that's right. But you see that you being right now is causing so much pain for somebody. That's not love. We say words like, I'm sorry. It can restore peace in the heart of a person. We say words like, I'll be more careful. We'll discuss it. I understand where you're coming from. Praise the Lord. So we talked about that last week. So this week, today, I want us to talk about appreciating yourself. Everybody say appreciating me. What is the matter? You guys don't want to appreciate yourself? Yeah? Do you know that the person that is never appreciated is you? We never appreciate ourselves. The greatest guilt, the greatest insult that you have ever received was from you. Think about it. The greatest I am not worthy that you have ever received in this life came from you. You spoke it to you. So we must appreciate ourselves. And you know, as I'm talking about appreciating ourselves, all our minds are just going like, yeah, it's great. Appreciate yourself. So people say, if it's women, they say, ah, let me just go out to the spa for the whole weekend. Got my nails done, my eyebrows, right? The women are smiling, yeah? That's great. You should do that. You should do that. You should do that. So you say, I appreciate, you know, buy me a new ring, do all that's great. We should do those things. But the greatest appreciation you can show to yourself is to develop yourself. The greatest form of appreciation you can do what? You can show yourself is to do what? To develop your faith. Is to build yourself, because the issue of all your life comes from you. The stronger you are, the more knowledge you have, or the more knowledge I have, the more control I have of my spirit, The more understanding I am of my environment can save me from a lot of harm in my life. So that's why when we have children, we start trying to give them education. We want to implant knowledge in them. Because we know that if they don't have knowledge, they will be weak. And if they are weak, they can't take care of themselves. And if they can't take care of themselves, they become victim to everything in the society. Same thing about our lives. If we do not develop our faith, we become victims of everything, the devil, everything, the flesh, everything, the world. Everything that they do, we become victim to it. And even sometimes now, us going to appreciate ourselves might be victimizing ourselves. Because there is no reason why I should wake up one morning and I don't have $25 and I decide to go appreciate myself with the $80,000 car. But my flesh can tell me, you deserve it. And I can come to the dealership and they tell me, your credit is wonderful. You have worked for it. So here I am appreciating myself, but what I'm doing is what? Destroying myself. Because I don't have knowledge. So developing your faith is the greatest appreciation you can show to yourself. If you have not known that, my brothers and my sister, from today, let it be your anchor. Let it be what you set before everything else that you do. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. It says what? Wisdom begins with what? With fear and respect for what? It says that where it begins, wisdom, understanding, where it starts is what? The fear of the Lord. Now, and respect, I'll show some things because whenever we hear the fear of the Lord, we keep thinking that it's fear of I'm going to kill you. You know, I have influence over my children. I have a lot of influence over my children. My children are not afraid of me. But there are certain things, even in my absence, that you ask my children to do. Because of the influence of love and things I brought in their life, they look at my pattern, they know what the adverse effect of that those things are, and they tell you they won't do it. And I'm not there. So that's what he's saying here. He's not saying the fear of when I'm coming in to the living room, they all run away. That's not the fear he's talking about. He's talking a fear of influence where my values has been built so much in them that they pattern their life after me. So what he's saying that the beginning of wisdom is for us to pattern our lives after God. Praise the Lord. I want you to listen very well. You have to appreciate yourself. You have to. This is where it starts. It has come from me patterning after him. He said, knowledge of the Holy One leads to what? To understanding. It's when we have knowledge of the pattern of God. That is when our lives start to be full of understanding. Because you know the Bible teaches that there is a way that seemeth right to what? To a man. But where it leads to is to what? To destruction. It will seem right to you. It will seem right to me. But because it is not patterned after the Lord, because the fear of God is not there, we go down that road thinking it makes sense. But God says that what it brings is what? Destruction. Verse 11. Wisdom will help you live longer. You see how, you see? So instead of you appreciating yourself, only saying, well, let me just go take a rest for 1 week. I'm going to go to Acapulco. I'm going to go to Hawaii. That's great. I do that. You should do that. But instead that just being your understanding of what it means for you to appreciate yourself only for 1 week, it says that if you spend time, that wisdom will do what? Give you longer life, not just that 1 week you went to hang out. She will add years to what? To your life. Verse 12. If you become wise, it will be for your own good. You see why I say appreciating yourself. If you become wise, it won't be for me. If you become wise, totally, it will be for me. It will be for your environment because your wise decisions, because we are a community, will begin to bring value to all of us. But even that value is bringing to all of us, the first partaker of it is what? It's you. That's what he's saying. So yes, you having wisdom is to value for all of us. It's to value for your family. It's to value for your greater community. It's to value for the young generation that are coming behind you. It's even value for your peers. As a young person, you should want to live your life to have influence among your peers. You should have to want to have understanding and knowledge that causes that there will not be confusion around you. That when you come in, people begin to understand what they need to do and you begin to progress in your life. So the greatest form of appreciation we can show ourselves is to develop and build our faith. So we must make developing our faith a priority. Before I go any further, I want you to understand. So understanding this, we must make developing our faith what? A priority. It decides everything. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. So Jesus asked this person, he says, what do you mean if what? If I can, Jesus asked. Anything is possible if what? If a person believes. Wow. That's a powerful statement. So which means that if there are issues that have become impossible in our life that we are struggling with, it's because we have not been able to believe the power of God and the way God does it. That's why we are stuck there. So he says, it's not that I, God, if I can, there's nothing I'm not willing to do for you or in your life. The issue is, how much have you developed yourself? How can you what? What can you believe? What do you believe? Do you know that everyone believes something? You can believe positive, you can believe negative. I heard a preacher speaking the other day, and he was so correct. He says that people think that they don't believe that they believe. You know, if now a story is going on that the economy is so bad, and you go on and you begin to believe that it's so bad, I'm going to lose my job, I'm not going to do it. You believe something. So if I come and begin to tell you, no, that you should believe that you're not going to lose your job, that you should believe that Christ can do all things, I'm not just telling you to do something that you're not doing. I'm telling you to switch it from where you are and go to the place that is even better for you. But when you say, people are thinking that you're trying to preach. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just telling you that you're doing this thing already, but you're doing it to the detriment of your life. So all I'm doing now to tell you that instead of what you're doing already to hurt yourself, start doing the same thing, what? To help yourself. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. It says, for physical training is of some value, useful for a little. So you can appreciate yourself. Work out. I do. And it's very good. It's very good. A young brother called me the other day and was telling me that he has joined the gym, that he's working out now, that it's great for him, for himself, esteem and everything. I said, that's very wonderful because he's going through it. I said, that's great. That's a wonderful exercise building. I said, but what you should do, as you have committed yourself to sign up in a gym and start going every evening, also come and sit down and get the word of faith. Because that physical training is of some value, but there's some that is of value for everything. I said, now you're committed to some, you can commit to 100%. He says, for physical training is of value, useful for a little, for a little. Look at how much just working out takes away cancer. They tell you people who exercise for a long time, certain diseases don't come into them. The Bible is saying that even all of that is little. It's a physical training is of some value. It's useful for a little. But godliness, what? Spiritual, what? Training is useful and of value in what? In everything. So join the gym. Appreciate yourself. But understand that that is little. So people are leaving work and running, I have to make the gym on Sunday. They say, I'm just so tired, today is my day of rest. Do you think that they understood the most important to appreciate in their life? We don't know that. He's saying that, yes, it's great. Workout is great. But when you find out the value of just working out, he's saying that's little. That what really matters for everything else. Do you know that no matter how you work out, if the person is a fool, if they come to make a decision of using their money, they wouldn't know. If they come to decision how to talk to people, they wouldn't know. If they come to decision of how to get a job, they come to decision to go to everything else about their life, they will know nothing about it. All you will see them, their muscle will just be tight. He says it's little. But so this time of appreciation, you will see everybody renewing their gym membership, saying that they are renewing. All they are renewing is that I'm going to start going to the gym. That's great. Listen, do that. I was telling my wife the other day, I said, one of the Wednesdays, or one of the days that is the time of Bible study, I'll take the church for exercise. Because I believe in exercise. I believe that people should, the Bible says it's good. But it says it's little. But it says spiritual training is what covers everything else about your life. See, that is where you should give most of your time. Do we do that? Do we do that? For it holds promise for the present life. So because you know all that great body that is oozing with nice tight muscle, when it finishes, it goes on the floor here, they bury it, ants eat it, it's over. But spiritual training gives me value now that I'm living. It gives me value in my relationships. It gives me value in running my business. It gives me value in knowing what to say and when to say it. And beyond that, when I check out of this world, because everyone will leave, it gives me value in the world to come. So even in heaven, I'm walking in. So developing ourselves, building our spiritual life, being people who want to pattern our, be influenced by the word of God. And first of all, you cannot even be influenced by something you don't know. If you don't know any word that God has spoken, how are you going to be influenced by something you don't even know? So being influenced by his word. Loving the word. In the book of 2 John, the Apostle John there was writing. He said, I am excited that my children love the word, the truth. What joy will give a parent to see that their child loves the truth? That you show up in his room or in her room at 12 o'clock, instead of him sitting there and just going, and not getting sleep, and you see him just sleeping, you go like, wow, this kid has learned the right thing. He knows that he needs what? His sleep to perform. It will give you tremendous joy. Luke chapter 17, verse 6. He said, the Lord answered, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and thrown into the sea, and what will happen? It will obey you. Now, you have to understand that when the Bible begins to use analogy, it's like the pastor was saying in the morning, is to paint a picture for us. So what he's saying is that even if you give yourself to develop your faith even as tiny as a mustard seed, issues in your life that has become a stronghold, you can command them to leave and they will leave. He says, what it means is that it's not just word. He says, in you now will be power to overcome those things. That's what he's saying. He says, even if you develop your faith, it doesn't have to be huge. If he said, what can you believe? He said, I can do all things. And I'm in you. You have received Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's in us. He says, I can do anything that I'm there. But what do you agree? What have you believed? He said, even if you believe a tiny, say a tiny as faith, he says you can, that issue in your life, he said you can stand and say this thing, you are not going to walk over here. He says that thing will do what? Carry seven lead. I don't know about you. But I have issues that come to my own life. I'm not immune to it. But as I've continued to develop myself, to build my faith, what I've found that whenever each one comes, no matter how big the mulberry tree is, or no matter how big the mountain is, I've already been able to stand and say, even you too, you will come to what? You come to, and I've overcome. So because we don't develop our faith, we remain people who are struggling with everything. With everything, it's pulling us, and it's oppressing us, and it is pushing us down, and it's taking away our joy, and we cannot be thankful. We cannot be joyful. So we switch our thankful and joyful to just material things, but inside, there is a pain that just won't go away. And they tell us, maybe if we work out some more and fit in size 3 dress, it will solve the problem. We wear a size 3 dress. By the time we go around 1 week, the people stop looking at us. We come, I'm telling you. If you're a guy, they tell you, no, if you make more money, blah, 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 then you go, you start killing yourself. You make that million, you make the next one. The next day, you buy the big car, everybody say, wow, this is great, the car. Then the next day, you just drive by, they say, hi, nobody's looking at your car anymore. You're going like, I gotta do more. You lose it. You can say to that mountain, if you give yourself in appreciating yourself to develop your faith in God, I'm telling you, that thing that you think is so large, is so much that is happening to you right now, you can stand and speak to it and live your life. You overcome it. You overcome it. So instead, what we are doing, instead of going to develop our faith, we just sit down and be rationalizing things. We're telling how church is terrible people. And I keep telling people, I said, you know, that whenever I see something that's not real, it causes me to begin to search. Because when something is not real, when I see something is not real, it means that there's a real of that thing. You can never have a counterfeit of something its original had not been made. It will not happen. It can't happen. So why should you run away? Why should you fall back because you saw a counterfeit? Because you saw a counterfeit, that's when you should push harder so that you can find what? The original. Because the only reason there is a counterfeit of that thing is because an original of it exists. That's the only reason. So which means you can get the best. Instead of beginning to rationalizing, taking every other kind of advice. Why Jesus has said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to freedom. Nobody comes to the Father. Nobody gets justified. Nobody becomes righteous. Nobody is free with God unless they do what? They come through me. Nobody can access power unless they come through me. You see that you're rationalizing. Telling everything else. So when we begin to develop our faith and let God teach us, we begin to think like God. But that's all he's saying. Influence. We begin to do what? We begin to think like God. We begin to talk like God. We begin to relate like God. And what did God say he is? Love. That's why the key of anyone who has started walking with God is love. People think that walking with God is like, come, you go, rah, 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 yeah. That's wonderful. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the power of the Spirit. It manifests itself. There's no question. But listen, those are just an addition to the foundation. As a matter of fact, all that manifestation, all it does is good. If I begin to manifest the gift of healing now, is it not good that it's bringing to you? All those manifestations, if I begin now to speak words of wisdom, to begin to tell you what will happen in your life, is it not good that it's doing for you? So all the manifestation of the Spirit is working on top of love. All it produces is love. So we begin to think like God. We begin to act like God. We begin to speak like God. And immediately we begin to do that, we begin to get results that God gets. Think about it, my brothers and my sisters. Listen, if I'm doing something and I'm having success, and you say you're following my pattern and you're not succeeding, something is wrong. You need to come back and check what I'm really doing. Or come back to me and say, all right, Chris, tell me, what are you really doing? It'll be rationalizing, it'll be assumption for you to stay there and keep doing and say, this is how he did it. This is how. But you're not getting my result. So the greatest appreciation you show yourself to be able to overcome, to be able to live a life of courage, to be able to live a life of victory, is for you to develop your faith in God. So you speaking like him, be thinking at him, like him, be walking like him, you start getting God's result. Start getting God's result. That's what Jesus Christ himself, who was God, said about me and you. He says that the works that I do in this world, you what? You will do it. And what? Greater. He said, because it's happening because I'm going to who? the Father. Because when I get there, I sit down, I tell him, yeah, I give you the Spirit, I give you this. That's why it's happening. That's what we need to know. That's where we need to spend our life. So that wherever we enter, we bring joy. I'm telling you, I walked into his studio. We went to register my kid for music. My wife went. And my wife says, ah, go and talk with him so you can pay. They've given me the bill. So I walked into that studio. And I saw an environment where the love of God is working. And when I came in there, I didn't feel like a stranger. Ask him. Immediately, because I'm thinking like God. I'm talking like God. The earth and its fullness thereof belongs to God, and it has given it to me. Anywhere I walk into, I can take the good of it. Anywhere you walk in, you can take the good of it. If you are not taking the good of the thing you walk into, you are not acting like God. Acting like God. You can go in a place. I could have gone to watch and say, oh, this. Because clearly, me and them have different lives and different backgrounds. And when me and him started having discussion and talking about our space, anyway, I'm not going to continue. We are taping this one. We started having deep conversations. And we were speaking freely. And he was saying, this is what the issue is. You see? And we say, yeah. But there was a freedom that came from love. And we can build on it. And we can have success. Same one that God has. So it applies to everything in our life. I'm telling you. It applies to everything in our life. I share my story so much. I've told you many that I don't share my story from a place that I'm better than anybody. I'm working in this world and the word of God is helping me. But I'm sharing my story because through the word of God, I've been able to do a lot of things that I couldn't imagine I could do. My older daughter, when they were doing counseling for college, their counselor, a Jewish guy, practiced complete. I walked in and said, I need to speak with you. Ask my wife, he's a witness. Took me inside. He says, how did you raise this girl? I said, we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know what he said? What did he say? No wonder. He says, no wonder. He says, I have no drama. He says, all through these things, drama all over. He says, I've never gotten drama from her. We said, we believe in Jesus Christ. He, the Jewish man, said, no wonder. He knew that love. He knew that if people are raised in the understanding of Jesus and with love, nobody's perfect. I've not done it perfect. Please, don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you that if it is as little as a mustard seed, you will say to this sycamore tree, do what? Lift up yourself and do what? Go and throw yourself inside water, not just fall down. Walk many miles and go and fall inside water. And he will say, okay, I've heard you. And he will run and fall. So the Bible says that it is through faith that the just will live. It's only through faith. Not through how much cash you have got. But you should make money. As a matter of fact, faith makes you make a lot of money. Well, that's what's helping me. That's what's helping me. And I don't want to sound arrogant saying that. And the faith has helped me make a good amount of it. Not because I was telling my brother, I said, I think about this and I know I am not smart. I know it. I know that I am not what? I know. It's not like you don't have to come and tell. If you come and tell me, yeah, you are not smart. I say, I know it already now. It says, it is by faith that the just shall live. He says, it is the word of faith that nourishes you. Great. Eat salmon, eat fish, eat all that omega-3. That's great. All it is nourishing is what? Just this body. It is. You should do that. I do that. But he said it is faith that nourishes you. There is a you that decides your life. He said we have access to God's grace through faith. Remember, I started by saying that the person that has said the worst thing to you is you. the person that I've said the worst thing to me is me. I've said things to me that nobody has ever had the guts to say that to me. And if they say that to me, I might never speak to them the rest of my life. But I've said those things to me. Do you know why I said them? Because I thought I was not worthy. Because I thought I don't deserve God's mercy. But he says that the only thing that could make me not speak those kind of things to me is the access I have to grace. And it's only through faith that I have that kind of access. And what is that access I have that's through faith? That God loves me already and he knows me. Do you know sometimes people are running around church that they are seeking to know the Lord? They are seeking to know. I'll show you the Bible that God knows you already. You don't need to seek to know him. He knows you. He said, come. He said, come. He said, understand how I know you. Understand that I love you. What are we competing about? It's not about people. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? I love you. I love you so deep. I love a kind of love that overlooks the deepest stench. The deepest stench that nobody can come close to. He says, if it's in your body, I love you so much that not only I come close, I clean it. So I know you in that way. Come. If you begin to know him that way, that you that speaks those horrible things to you, and you know those horrible things shut you down, there are things in life that you have not been able to pursue, there are things you have not been able to achieve because that you continue to speak to you that you can't achieve those things. Now, if you shut that you up, the sky is, well, not even the sky, what will be your limit? Heaven. That is what it really means to appreciate oneself. I don't say don't go on vacation, so. I didn't say don't buy new cars. Praise the Lord. I didn't say don't go buy new suits. I go. I feel good when I wear good. I feel good. But it comes from, there's something else that's driving. So the foundation of that faith is that God knows you. He already loves you. He's not going to love you. So that's why the songwriter wrote, he said, just as I am without one plea, and that blood was shed for me, and thy beat me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. He says that it is him that is bidding you to come. Incredible. That is where that faith, that's where you begin to develop it. Not in you. Don't develop it on you. The Bible says, by the aim of strength, no man shall prevail. If you put it on you, is it you that's already accusing you? The two of you will die. So he loves me already. He accepts me already. He lives in me already. I was asking my wife the other day, last week again. I said, if somebody thinks you good enough to come to your house, I don't care where you live. I don't care if you live in the dumps, if you live wherever, the worst of the way you live. But I don't care if you have a great mansion, but it's where you live. And they see you fit enough to come in your house and stay there for months. I say, are you fit to go to their house? He says, of course, if they can come and stay, man, then they know me. So if God can come down earth and live inside of you, you can come to his house. He's already come where you're living now. Praise the Lord. Are you guys with me? He has already come where you are, your house, the way he lives in. So if you are fit for him to come and live in your house and stay there, I said the Spirit of God lives in you. You know, that's why he begins to caution the Bible. He says, why are you going to be sleeping around? Why do you sleep with prostitutes? Why do you do this? Don't you know that the Holy Spirit does what? Lives inside of you, that you're dragging him in all these things. He already knows you. As a matter of fact, he didn't say that when you go to do it, he leaves. He says that you drag him to go and do those things you're what? You're doing. So even in the bottom of your bottom pit, he loves you so much. He comes with you. All he wants to do is so he can make sure, so he can do what? Take you out. Take you home. Take you home. What a great deal. No human being has offered any person that kind of deal. That's the foundation of this faith. That's what you should appreciate yourself. That's what you should continue giving yourself continually, to know about it, to build yourself more with it, to become it, so you can live victoriously. The faith is our anchor. So Galatians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9. It says, in the past, you did not what? Do you know why he calls it in the past? Because if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he becomes what? Without Christ Jesus, it's the past. You don't know God. People think that knowing God is that they are going around doing good stuff. Let me tell you something. No human being has the power to do good. That's why sometimes people don't understand. When you talk about Jesus Christ, they begin to compare. They say, well, he feeds the soup kitchen. He does this. Those are beautiful. Those are great. But in the eyes of God, they are what? They are rotten. Because see, the thing is that the issue is that you as a human being, your nature has made it that you and God cannot join. The sin in your life is not that when you started growing up, you were stealing, or you were cursing people, or you were kissing a girl. That's not what. The point is that in sin, you were born in sin. Before you came into this world, it said that death entered through Adam. Adam has defiled God, and God has kicked him out, and they cannot meet. And life has been happening through reproduction. Since after Adam, God has not come and bred into anybody else. That's why now, if your great-grandfather, you don't know him, is dead, and you're here, if they check your DNA, it matches him. How people have been produced is through reproduction. That's why there's even some sicknesses that they go and trace. They say it's in the line of the family. So it passed all the way, and you did nothing. You did not eat any lead. You didn't do anything, but somehow they check your body. You're carrying that sickness. So understand what sin is. It's not that I'm lying. That's not what it is. The sin with God is that as you're coming up, you are enemies with God. We are enemies with God. So it's only in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So God made Christ Jesus a propitiation of our sin. He made him the cleansing of our sin. He says that anyone that comes through him, I'll do what? I will clear that enmity that I had between man and me, and he'll come into my kingdom. So that is why he said in the past, you did not know God. He did not know us either. Because evil and good don't work together. So God kicked him, and man won't deal. He said, you were slaves to gods that were not what? They were not real. You know the Bible teaches that anyone that you give yourself to serve, you become a slave to that person. So when Adam gave himself to the devil, he became a slave to the devil. Those are gods. They became a god. So they are not real gods. They became gods. They became in charge of his life. That's why we were talking in the morning about idolatry. When you begin to, there was a time that I was a real idolater. I went and bought this brand new, my friend here understand when we bought those cars. We went and bought the new S-Class. And we thought that, man, that now this is just too much. So that time, before my kids entered the car, their shoes would be inspected and inspected and inspected. Yeah. Yeah. I just think about it and I laugh. I say, God, that car. Inspected. Then I said, no, it is not to be driven all over the place. So I bought another car that will be driven all over the place. Then on Sundays, on Saturdays, I bring it out. Then I put my hand, and when I'm driving, I say, well, I'm alright. Foolishness that is in the man's heart. Oh yeah, that's what I did. Yeah. My children, before they enter, they're expecting their shoe. My own children. They're laughing at me. Idolatry. You see somebody hurting. No, this is my time off. I'm not going to talk to you. This is my own. This is my time. This is my time. Somebody's hurting around you. Why is it my time for? Why? He says that you were slaves to gods. So there are many gods, though. There are many gods. There are many gods. Oh, no, we saved this money for a rainy day. This kid is dying. Now it's a rainy day. No, nobody can touch it. He said, become a god. There's no faith. Because you believe that immediately that money leaves, that you are dead. If you think that when that money leaves, you're dead, you have faith in God. I'm not saying you. I'm asking all of us. Somebody praise the Lord. This is the truth. This is the truth. When you build yourself this way, victory, I'm telling you, your joy, you'll be joyful all the time. You'll be thankful in any situation. Praise the Lord. So he said, they were slaves to God. So blessed be the name of the Lord, we are not slaves to gods anymore. I want you to say amen to that. Amen. Amen. We are not. We are not. We know that God is our source. We know that God said, if you take this away from me, it's a thing. God, I get another one. My joy is not this. So when the children of Israel returned in the book of Nehemiah, and they were crying, the walls are fell down. Oh, what is happening? Nehemiah gathered them cool. He said, today rejoice, because the joy of the Lord is what? It's what my strength is. If you begin to develop yourself in that faith, that's the greatest appreciation. May you be thankful. All the time. All the time. When you come at any society, any situation, no matter how tough it is, you know what to do. You know. You'll be able to endure.